feel the beat goes on. Yeah, rip the mic, rip the stage, rip the system. I was born to rage against them. Hodgeons, L.A., coming to the finish line. Season is almost over. We're getting there. It'll be done before you know it. College season is over. Let's go back to getting my Saturdays and Sundays to actually doing something. It's amazing. It's like a bad relationship. You start off, it starts off great in September and August, and you're all full of piss and vinegar. And by the end, I'm ready to be done with it. Although it was a good weekend of football games. The national championship was one to write home about. I get back to my PE job and having my Saturdays and Sundays quasi-free. Although I still will do the show, I'm going to add in other sports as well. There's always plenty to talk about. Get back to my PE coaching life of watching 15-year-old uncoordinated kids play soccer. It's the worst. I'd rather watch Vince Wilfork screw his wife. Moving on. BCS National Championship game, although it felt like it was 2 months ago. It was this past Monday, and it was a good one. And the whole time, I was pulling for Florida State to win. I really was. Only because of the SEC fandom. The fanaticism of the SEC and how these, you know, these fans of these teams feel like they can cheer for a whole conference and the conference means nothing, especially in the last few years where everybody bolts around to different conferences. Just a whole big money power structure, but people for some reason think they have some kind of loyalty to these big money structures. So I was pulling to Florida State the whole game. Although, I, you know, my affection, if for lack of a better word, for Gus Malzahn, we fought through at the end, and oh, man. They almost had it, too. If you went back and watched that last play, and that's something I bitched about on this show ad nauseum, is the lack of, when you really need to play, just a desperation play, a lack of any type of setup of a good play. Auburn actually had one. Go figure, because Gus Malzahn is actually a good football coach. When he threw that back at the end of the game, I forget who caught it, but he had a lane. He could have went, and he cut it back, and Auburn's luck ran out. They got lucky to a certain extent in the Georgia game and the Alabama game. You know, luck always plays a part of it, of course. But luck ran out on them. But that BCS game, it ended up, I was bitching last week, it was like a $900 ticket. Ended up right before the game, I could have got a ticket for $175. And I should have, well, I shouldn't say I should have went. I'm kind of kicking myself. But it's such a pain in the ass to get to these freaking games. And then a parking's another $150. Then you get in there, you spend another $100 on whatever food. I don't think they serve beer at the national championship game. Although some of these bowl games, I swear, people were drinking. But I thought it was an NCAA rule that you couldn't have booze inside the facility of a game. But regardless, watched it at home. Brett Musburger introducing the game, as always. Classic Musburger introduces himself as Kirk Herbstreit and he introduces Kirk Herbstreit as Brett Musburger and just keeps going like he didn't even miss a beat, like it was normal. Nobody called him out on it. This is fucking TV for you. Jameis Winston. Oh, I flip-flopped on him, especially after the game. I don't like hearing him talk. He's too much. Although he's only, what, the fifth player in the history of NCAA Division I football to go undefeated and win a Heisman and a national championship in the same year. Sixth guy, rather. Cam Newton, Mark Ingram, Matt Leinart, Charles Woodson, Tony Dorsett. It's funny how four of the six have happened in the last 10 years. I wonder why that is. There's got to be something to that. It's got to be that voters are so saturated and public opinion becomes so swayed. There's no real regionalism. People don't have their own voices anymore. It's a rant alert. I think it has to do with the internet age and opinions and public opinions get formed more easily than it was when it was, you know, strictly a regional thing and a regional vote. When voters were more isolated in their regions, I think they see everything now and they just kind of, there's a consensus that gets built in the ESPN talk radio world. So they end up voting for that guy who's playing for that national championship team. There's no way Matt Leinart was the best player in the country in 2004. Cam Newton definitely was. Mark Ingram, he seems to be a product of the system. Decent running back. Charles Woodson was a force. Was a rare two-way player, which I believe he's going to start seeing more of. And Tony Dorsett evidently was a freak of nature as well. I know he was a great running back. Say, what about Heisman quarterbacks in the last 7 national championship games with 2-5? Now 3-5, Jameis Winston. Thanking God and Jesus right off the bat. Oh, the whole pregame hype. Yeah, I respect Florida State, but, oh, man. They show a guy like Chris Winkie makes me feel my age. He looks about 57 years old coming out there. And, you know, I mean, I don't feel old, but I look around and see some guys my age, and I'm like, shit, man. Maybe I'm just a warped perception of reality. I still feel like I'm all right, but then you see some of these guys, and they just freaking completely let themselves go. But then again, I'm staring at myself in a camera right now, and I don't feel so good about it as well. I digress. ESPN went with their broadcast. Interesting style of broadcast they went with, that megacast. They had on ESPN2, it was almost like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 type thing. They had these coaches sitting around commenting on games, which I like. I think there's a place for that in football, especially as we get into the media of having these specialized stations, which once again, not to go off topic, Vincent Kennedy McMahon blazed the trail in media this week, coming out with the WWE Network. $10 a month. Okay, you get all the pay-per-views, you get all this special content for a relatively cheap price of $10 a month. I think a lot of these people outprice themselves. ESPN's probably going to be next to follow suit with something like this. They already did it. But I mean, as far as getting the different content and having different styles of watching the games, and they're already doing it. I liked it. The only problem is, one of the things about watching sports that I'm attracted to, and I know a lot of people are attracted to as well, is when you watch sports, you can talk over it. You don't have to listen to the freaking clown shoes announcers the whole time. But if you really want to watch it with those coaches making comments, that you got to be quiet. So it's almost like watching a movie, and you got to watch them. Look at that, Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow talking over the games. You know, that's must-watch TV. But by the end of the day, I ended up going back to the regular broadcast. It's just too much with the side mirrors and side show that they had all the time. But I like it. That's what the TV's going to come to. It's going to be on the internet, different styles of broadcasting it. I think ESPN and Vincent Kennedy McMahon have shown the way. I can't believe Auburn really shit the bed. And really, I know it's one of those things that's, it's really after the fact you can say it, but if Trey Mason took a knee, well, he broke it away and took it down to the one and took a knee and took some time off the clock. I know it's easy said than done. It's easy to say it now, but I think Auburn would have won that game. Nonetheless, good football game. Way to end the season. Another remarkable college football season. Moving on in the college football world, Bobby Latrino back at Louisville. Absolutely freaking amazing. Some people just Teflon. Nothing sticks to them. Some people just fall in a bucket of shit and come out smelling like roses all the time. Bobby Petrino is one of those guys. He's really this great of a football coach. Left Louisville high and dry after, like, months after signing a huge deal. 2 months after signing a deal, went to Atlanta Falcons. Left, quit with like 2-3 games left in the season, which to me, there's no excuse for a quitter. I have absolutely no patience for a quitter. Quit by leaving a Dear John note in all the players' lockers. And, of course, he went to Arkansas. And Arkansas ended up, he was having an affair with 25-year-old former ex-volleyball player. He said in the course of a year, Bobby Petrino sent 7,000 texts to this girl. It's absolutely amazing. I don't know how anybody born before 1975, 1976. I don't know how an older guy, a sugar daddy, if you will, I don't know how they can maintain a relationship with a younger woman because of the goddamn texts. How do you text 7,000 times in 1 year to one person? Not to mention all the shit he's freaking texting to recruits and all that. The guy must be addicted to his phone. That's one of the reasons they got out of the college game as well. That's a requirement to be a college coach nowadays, to be addicted to your phone like a 14-year-old girl. That's what these guys do. 7,000 texts. I know I'm a PE teacher, not a math teacher, but that comes out to about 20 a day to this one person. Amazing. How's a guy get away with it? don't know how older guys can pick up younger women nowadays. They have much more stamina. They just have way much more sex drive than someone like me has. To be sitting on the phone all day, texting, setting up rendezvous. Amazing. I don't feel bad about it. You know? It's like To Catch a Predator. It's like these guys on To Catch a Predator. I don't know why that show's not on TV anymore. That was an uplifting show to someone like me. It's like, hey, no matter how bad I think I might have it, at least I'm not one of these sick fucks who drives like 400 miles to bring in get off with a 12-year-old girl. It's amazing. These guys drive all this freaking way and the effort and the duplicity of their lives. I don't know, man. People do a lot of shit for bringing just to get their rocks off. But Bobby Petrino back at Louisville. Smell like roses. And Louisville's not a joke of a program. Louisville is a legitimate program. They got Louisville and Rick Pitino in the same offices now. Another classic scumbag. Oh, everybody makes mistakes, I guess. Bobby Petrino back in the game. Penn State with a huge hire this week. They moved rather quickly. They hired James Franklin from Vanderbilt, which I think is a great hire. First and foremost, he's a young guy. He's only about 41, 42, relatively, in the coaching world. He's a black guy, which I think can work against him in some ways because, look, I worked at Penn State. I lived in Pennsylvania. I'm going to call a spade. That's why they call it Pensatucky. Okay, there is blatant racism in the state of Pennsylvania, no doubt about it. There were already people signed. There was already like 500 people signed a petition not to get James Franklin as the head coach. Definitely racially motivated. But you kidding me? He's going to be master recruiter. He did it at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has some athletes. Vanderbilt has some players. He brought him in. Imagine what he's going to do at Penn State. And B, I don't even know if I said A, but B, James Franklin is from Pennsylvania. He's a Division II kid. I think he went to East Stroudsburg State. You know, so he's a local guy, knows the area. I think he's going to do a fantastic job. I think it was the best hire they could possibly come up with. And it'd be interesting to see if my buddies, Sean Spencer and Ricky Ronnie, end up following him to Penn State. I think they should. Sorry, dropped my pen. Moving on. Well, let me continue on the Franklin thing for a second. A lot of people came out against him. They said, oh, he had a couple students, a couple player athletes got charged with rape this year. Well, you immediately dismiss him. That's not him. He's not that freaking, you know, he can't control college kids and what they're doing. And then another thing they're saying, he's not the right hire because he was saying he needs to see the wives of all his head coaches or of all his assistant coaches because, you know, confident people, good salesmen have good looking wives. Yeah, not saying anything that's probably not fairly true because all those guys are salesmen. They're snake oil salesmen. College football coaches are the worst kind. I was talking about these texts all the time. It's brutal. I don't know why anybody would even want to do it at this point. That's why, to me, it's either high school or the pros, but good luck trying to make the leap from high school to the pros. But the pro level is so much easier in so many ways. You have a front office. You have people take care of that stuff. You know, your recruiting comes down to the checkbook of the owner. You don't have to go into somebody's living room, feign interest. Couldn't do it. I don't have that stamina to do it. Sit there and text all day and go into people's living rooms that you can't stand. What else in the college game? I thought this was a good one. The guy, defensive lineman from Ohio State suspended for the bowl game. Noah Spence, good player. Ended up getting suspended because he tested positive for ecstasy. But he was claimed that somebody slipped it to him. His dad came out and claimed somebody slipped it to him. Oh, bullshit. How's that even freaking happen? First of all, somebody slips you ecstasy, fine. You do the ecstasy, probably enjoy it, but you would immediately report it the next day if that was true. Right? If you thought somebody slipped you something, you'd report that shit. You wouldn't just, hopefully nobody finds out, and if I piss and come up positive, I'm going to get suspended. Just slip somebody. Oh, I got slipped a Mickey. Yeah. Couple more things in the college world. Speaking of drugs and athletes, Doriel Green Beckham, wide receiver extraordinaire from Missouri, who was actually the number one recruit in the country, I think 2 years ago. No, he was listed as the Rivals. Talked about him a couple weeks ago. Rivals number one recruit in the country. Second marijuana arrest in the last, 5 weeks or something? Maybe even 5 months. No, 15 months, excuse me. Oh, you know, year and a half. You're not even. He's with the, he's getting charged with possession with intent to distribute. So he was rolling with some, you know, he was rolling more than an eighth. He's rolling more than a joint. He's with the guy driving in a Jeep with expired tags with enough weed to be busted with or called out on intent to distribute. A fool, man. You got your whole friggin' career and you're rolling in a Jeep with a guy who's got expired tags and all this weed. Yeah. We'll see what happens with Doyle Green back, although it's practically legal in, what, how many states is it legal in? I guess it's just legal in Colorado now. But it's crazy. It's funny, in Colorado, in Denver, it's legal to completely legal to have weed nowadays in Colorado. But in the city of Denver, if you have a pit bull, you would get fined and it would be taken away from you. And I'm not a pit bull advocate. And I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's funny how certain standards, certain things. Last thing in the college game, Mark Whipple, back at UMass, former head coach at UMass when UMass won the Division I, formerly known as 1AA National Championship. Mark Whipple back with them at UMass. Great hire. Oh, that's a dead-end job. There's no way UMass is ever going to be good at Division I football. No freaking way. You can't. First of all, they didn't play on campus. Second of all, Matt, those six states of New England combined, you could be lucky to end up pulling seven or eight legitimate Division I football players. It's a dead-end job. UMass should have never won Division I. How are they gonna compete with BC, Syracuse, and Penn State in that area? But congratulations to Mark Whipple. Moving on, let's go to the pro game. Before we get into today's games, which were, well, today and yesterday's games were entertaining. But fuck, when they do that, they put these playoff games, man, they just, it's like a full-time job. Swear, yesterday I started drinking beers at 2. Drank 14 Bud Lights. Not proud of it, but 14 Bud Lights in the course of 2 freaking games. Ugh. People say, what do you drink Bud Light? Tastes like water. Because I know what I can handle with them. I can have 14 of them, still feel fine the next day. But like I said, I'm glad these games are coming down to the end. Let's take them in order. Might as well. First game yesterday, the Seattle games. Seattle, New Orleans, watching that game, realizing how much I dislike both teams. Can't stand Seattle. I said it. Even though Pete Carroll is a fantastic coach and he's put together a great team, I can't stand all the lime green. They changed their fucking color scheme. Yeah, a little lime green. It's not lime green. It was sea green, sea foam green. Now all of a sudden they're lime green. Now I have to listen to Joe Buck fucking every 2 minutes about how loud it is, and have to show that stupid graphic with it and showing that how loud it is in Seattle. Just dislike both teams. Just like watching. I've spoken my piece on Sean Payton before. Overrated coach. I mean, get the fucking plays in, right? At the end of the game, they spent timeouts. They got delayed games. You listen to these guys talk, guys like Sean Payton, John Gruden, Jay Gruden, for that matter, who just got hired with the Redskins, which I don't think is a really good hire. But these guys, they have these paragraph-long plays. They don't need to be that long. It just works against you, especially when you go on the road. You saw it today. Phillip Rivers couldn't communicate the plays because they say freaking 15 sentences. That's the beauty of the hurry-up. And guys like Chip Kelly, they simplify the shit that it can be simplified. And they just do it with a couple hand signals, a couple keywords, and that's it. And the play's gone. You get into these teams like New Orleans, San Diego, obviously. You know, you go on the road. That's why Peyton is going to be so lethal. It's going to be so difficult to beat the Broncos in Denver because they get quiet. And you can back out all the shit. And then when you play in a dome, domes, you know, generally, especially at home, they get quiet. Oh, Kip, New Orleans, forget it. I'm so glad so Sean Payton, man. I don't want to hear Pam Oliver or Aaron Andrew talk about how Sean Payton does CrossFit with the Saints. Oh, it's CrossFit. That's the reason the Saints are good. Because he's kind of doing CrossFit. There's always some kind of narrative with all these teams. Saints, it was the Sean Payton, Drew Brees back together and doing CrossFit. I mean, like looking at Sean Payton. Sean Payton reminds me of the Ben Stiller character from Dodgeball. I think if he went up to Sean Payton before the game, like, hey, Sean, your ass looks fat in those pants, he would lose his mind and call a bad game, which he did again the other day. Got to hand it to Pete, though, man. That defense was ridiculously fast. Pete knows what he wants defensively. He knows what he wants offensively. Got a quarterback that can do it. Got a quarterback that can run the ball. Marshawn Lynch can run the ball. They throw Skittles at him. Ooh, show him beast mode. Love Skittles. Two teams I can't stand watching. But Seattle dominated the game. Ended up only winning by 8, but dominated the game. Which leads us to the Pats-Colts. Pedro, finally, for my 10 listeners who've been listening, finally, Patriots did what I asked them to do. Pound the football. Limit Tom Brady's throws. Limit him to 25 throws. Run the ball with Blount. Run the ball with Ridley. There you go. You don't even have Tom Brady doesn't even throw for a touchdown pass, which I think is an overrated statistic. Anyways, a touchdown pass is an overrated statistic. It's all about points scored. It's how you get in. Okay? It's about you score 43 points and don't throw any touchdown passes. Big fucking whoop. It's the residual effect of the fantasy league culture and mentality and everybody, you know, fantasy points. When really all that matters is the points that are scored in the game. The Patriots scored 43 of them. And got to Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck with his chin beard. Looks like one of the Geico cavemen commercials. Andrew Luck's one of these guys. Going to be a thorn in the side of Patriots in the next 10 years. Dan Dierdorf's last game with Colin. There's another guy. You know, I'd love to have enemies. I think we all do. I could stand Dierdorf. But shit, by the end of the game, I'll be damned. I was actually a little sad that Dierdorf is gone. It just makes me feel like I'm getting older. Guy like that, he's been around forever. He's been doing games for almost as long as I can remember watching him. With sincere dedication to a mustache as well. So, you know, you don't find that every day. Ugh. How about Andrew Luck with his elbow brace? In this day and age, with all this technology and all the, you know, scientific breakthroughs, a guy's wearing an elbow brace that you could have bought in 1983 at Sears, that same tan color elbow brace. You see guys, middle-aged guys playing racquetball wear those elbow brace. Couldn't come up with anything better than that. That's what he's got. Bill Belichick, the genius that he is, the greatest football coach of all time, sitting there holding a towel around his neck when pretty much the whole game. And I know I go after Belichick. Yeah, I'll concede. Obviously, he's done a lot of good things. Good things, I wouldn't say he's greatest, obviously. But it always seems to me, and watch this, Pats fans, that Belichick gets more demonstrative and actually seems like he's coaching a lot more when the Patriots already have a comfortable lead. Watch for that. It seems like games are tight. He's, you know, Joe Cool sitting there doing nothing. I shouldn't say he's doing nothing. But if a basketball coach, I want to compare the two. What if a basketball coach just sat there and let his assistants do everything? That doesn't happen. These are basketball coaches that are out there coaching every play. Football coaches, so many of the head coaches just sit there. Don't say a word. They say, oh, Belichick does more than, yeah, I guess. Speaking of coaches, Chuck Strong, Chuck Pagano, I've been slurping him up. That would be enough. If the Colts had advanced, it'd be slurping up Pagano more. Down 10 minutes left in the game, down 21 points. It's like 3rd and 5 around midfield. Punts it away. 10 minutes left. You freaking kidding me? Way to quit on your team, Chuck Strong. You'd think he would have some kind of perspective there. You know, 21 freaking points. Okay, the Patriots are going to get the ball back at least twice. You know they're going to at least be able to run off three and a half minutes each drive. It's going to leave about 20 seconds. Got to go for the game there. Another terrible, terrible coaching job. Chuck Strong. I guess that moves us on to today's games. 49ers, Carolina. You know what? I tried to hate on this San Fran team, but I tell you what, two things. One, they're the most talented roster, most talented team in the NFL. It amazes me they lose any games, to be honest with you, and they lost a few in the regular season. But top to bottom, offensively and defensively, they have the most weapons. I think Jim Harbaugh's a good coach. And you know what? I tried to dislike Kaepernick, but I tell you, there's something about him. I love this. He's almost like a bad guy wrestler. Speaking of bad guy wrestler, how about the shit that Ric Flair was getting this week with the 49 of Carolina? I guess evidently Jim Harbaugh flew him out. I watched it on YouTube. They gave a little speech to a team. It was fantastic. Maybe even respect Kaepernick more. Those guys, those pro football players were looking at Ric Flair with just such reverence. You know, such those guys were going nuts. Seeing the Nature Boy, dirtiest player in the game, turning his back on the Carolina Panthers. He's a longtime Charlotte resident, although came out, if he goes back into, what is it, Mecklenburg County or whatever it is, Charlotte is in Carolina, if he goes back into that county, he's going to be arrested on site for lack of child support payment. Woo! Nature Boy, dirtiest player in the game. Steve Smith was all fired up because I guess Carolina breaks down on the woo, although a lot of other teams do. A lot of basketball, I know Charlotte basketball team does as well. But Kaepernick playing the role of bad guy wrestler after he scored a touchdown, peeling off the Superman, buttoning it up, and then kissing the bicep. That's classic. Good for Kaepernick. You know, such a young fellow with such great heel instincts. You can't buy that. You gotta like that. At least as a pro wrestling fan, I do. The 49 team, it just seemed like there was never a... Oh, I should say that. Carolina had its chances, but they blew them. And they still got David Shula calling plays for them, for fuck's sake. Riverboat Ron Rivera. That would have been the narrative if they had ended up advancing as Riverboat Ron and all his riskiness, even though they fucking get the ball on the goal line, what, twice, completely shit the bed. It's amazing how they don't get, they have an athlete, they have a freak athlete like Newton, how they don't get him on the edge and give him the run pass option. That is the most difficult thing to stop is a running quarterback, especially when he's an out option to throw. That's why Kansas State, you know, I don't see why I don't see it more in the pros. That, look, I think one of the keys, and I'd love to see an offense be able to do this. One, make every pass look like a run. Or two, make every run look like a pass. Lead draws, sprint draws, things of that nature. It's so difficult on a defense. Speaking of which, getting back to that other game, that Saints game, at the end of the game, Marcus Colston got a lot of slack because at the end of the game, he caught the ball and he tried to throw it back across the field and he threw it forward and that was the end of the game instead of getting out of bounds and taking one more chance. I get that. That makes sense. However, this is something that's untapped upon in the NFL and in football in general. The swing in the ball, if you can get the ball to a receiver who could throw it back across the field, that is such a high-risk reward play. And I'll tell you why. One, no defensive player is sitting back on that backside. So you hit that, it's a home run. Two, if he throws it, you know, if he's going to throw it all the way across the field, it goes backwards, it kicks out of bounds, you still maintain possession. And if you can work on and do it right, it's only a 3, 4, 5-yard loss. The risk versus reward, yeah, it's a little risky, but there's no way someone's going to pick that shit in the backside. So what I'm saying is you throw a ball to the one side on a hitch, something like that. You can have it set up on that backside, that throwback. That shit is there. No one ever does it, though. Everybody's afraid to do it. But Colston tried to do it at the end of the game, and, well, it backfired, but big deal. They were going to probably lose the game anyway. It was worth the shot, no doubt about that. Throwing myself off, where am I at now? Enough of the San Fran Carolina game. San Fran, most talented team. San Diego, Denver. Oh, San Diego just, again, had opportunities. But I'm sick of the Phillip Rivers. I'm sick of the bolo tie. And there are people out there, oh, Phillip Rivers is passionate. Fuck that. He's a rude man. I don't want to watch Phillip Rivers. That would be the narrative. The bolo tie. If they had advanced to the next round, you would have seen that shit everywhere. Everybody in the stands, people would have had that shit. He's a freaking redneck from Alabama. Tell you what, though. Denver doesn't really scare me. They don't scare me like they did. She seemed to be very human the last few weeks. I mean, they still got Peyton. Got to hand it to Peyton. So I've heard my doubts about Peyton. Although, I got to give it to Peyton. How about after the game today? The first thing he said was they asked him about next year because a story came out that his neck, he might not be able to play next year, which is bullshit. He'll play next year. Peyton said at the end of the game, the only thing on my mind is how fast I can get a Bud Light. Well, Jesus Christ, Peyton Manning. Just when I write you off, you bring me back in, you son of a bitch. Man after my own heart. At least Peyton Manning's not up there like Jameis Winston talking about Jesus and God and thanking his family and how much he loves his wife. He's talking about going and getting a Bud Light after the game. Fucking A, Peyton Manning. Too bad you're playing the Patriots next week. Otherwise, I just might pull for you. Well, that's not happening. Rivers just, Philip Rivers, every time you watch him, it's just a matter of time before he cries. A matter of time before he can baby something and he just pulls a temper tantrum. Hey, Philip Rivers. I sucked that one up on you. Enough. Glad he's out. But that leaves us, what, the four best teams in football. Let's not make any mistakes, folks. And, you know, but it was pretty clear by week three or four that these are the four best teams. Seattle, San Fran. New England's always New England. We got Tom and Bill. And Peyton Manning is by far and away the best player in football right now. Fine, I said it. Soften me up with the Bud Light comment, I guess. So there we got it. We got now potential matchups. We got Seattle, Denver. Kind of a stoner bowl. Will there be any more hippie fans, any more crunchy fans in a Seattle-Denver Super Bowl? You know, hey, man, fucking two stoner fucking friend. Forget that. We got a Fisherman Bowl. How about Seattle, New England? That'd be a good one. You know, which reminds me, by the way, I just thought of this the other day. It'd be a great reality show. Take East Coast fishermen from New England and Pacific Northwest fishermen, and then you add in a third set of fishermen, like shrimp fishermen from Louisiana, something like that. And then maybe some fishermen from Southern California and put them in some kind of exotic water and have them have a fish off and record it. There you go. The reality TV show. We're going to Fisherman Bowl, Seattle, New England. Be a tough one. We could have the obnoxious fan bowl, San Fran, New England. I know. I'm one of them, unfortunately. I shouldn't say that. I'm pretty fortunate, I guess. But shit, you go home, that's all they talk about is the greatness in Belichick and Brady. And San Fran fans are just as arrogant. That's the one thing about San Fran I don't really like is their fans. Although some of my good friends are San Fran fans, are still obnoxious. We could have a rematch at the great Super Bowl 24, San Fran, Denver. San Fran put it on them 55-10. That was the worst Super Bowl I can remember, other than the Pats Bears. Yeah, San Fran was up like 27-0 and 27-3 at half. January 1990. This is the last game Brett Musburger ever did for CBS Sports, by the way. Replaced by Greg Gumbel. Greg Gumbel has been around for that freaking long at CBS football. Amazing. This slips under the radar. I've been there for 23, 24 years. Rematch of that Super Bowl. A halftime show at that Super Bowl with three. I was, what, 12, 13 years old at that time? Halftime show. I don't even know who those guys. Pete Fountain, Doug Kershaw, and Irma Thomas were the halftime show. My, how things have changed. Dixieland, jazz, clarinet player. That was the worst. It was the lowest rated Super Bowl. That Super Bowl was the lowest rated one, I think, in the history of the NFL. Could be wrong. So where does that leave us? Predictions? I don't know. I tell you one thing, though. I know this. The O-line, the best O-lines were winning all weekend. It comes down to the same friggin' things. I know it sounds like a broken record. Comes down to the same things, offensive line play, being able to run the rock, and not turning it over. Not that much of a mystery. Where does that leave us? I'm going to say, I just can't see anybody beating San Fran. I think they're the best team. Yeah. My heart says New England, but I got to take Denver, and Denver is going to be hard. Although New England's playing well, especially with Jamie Collins, the freak athlete. But I digress. What else do we got in the sporting world? Oh, the punt passing kick championships announced today. It's amazing through the years. I tried to look it up today as well. None of those guys have ever been in the NFL or ever got a Division I scholarship in any of the previous, none that have any noteworthiness. It's amazing there's no black guys in there. Never any black kids in the punt passing kick. It's always some big-ass white kid from all the different areas. Or a big Hawaiian kid. Someone who looks like he's 18 or 17 and he's 11 years old. Never any brothers. Interesting. I think the black kids would be able to do well at that. Especially considering the NFL is, what, 75, 70% black? But none of the punt passing kick. I think it always comes down to the punt, by the way, anyway. think people can kick and throw. The punt's difficult. It's one of those things you just miss. Don't look good. All right, so that's it. I'm saying it. Denver, San Fran, rematch of Super Bowl 24. See what happens, though. Let's get in the twit bag, and then I'm going to get out of here a little bit earlier today, I think. Got to go home and prepare for my big soccer tomorrow. Hey, boy. Twit bag at Toboggan. What is Lane Kiffin at to Alabama? Oh, shit, I'm glad you said that because I don't even think I touched upon Lane Kiffin going to Alabama. Just another retread. I've spoken at length about Lane Kiffin, when I think about Lane Kiffin. A little bit surprised and a little bit disappointed at Nick Saban for going out and getting a reach at a guy who's proven that he's, you know, getting more chances than anybody. Amazing. Another guy who's like Bobby Petrino just falls in shit and smells like roses. Guy goes from, what, becomes a head coach at the Raiders at like 30. Gets fired from the Raiders, goes to Tennessee, which is an elite program, quits on Tennessee, does a shitty job at Tennessee, quits there, ends up at USC, shits the bed at USC, and now he goes to the premier college football program as the offensive coordinator and play caller. Will probably end up, it's probably the ideal situation for someone like that, can learn under Saban, I guess. What does Lane Kiffin add Alabama? I don't think he's a terrible X's and O's guy. You know, I guess he's someone who knows what it takes to succeed in the business. I don't think it's a really good move by Saban. I don't think it helps the program at all. I think what Saban needs to get into is more the tempo, no huddle stuff. You could still run the ball that way. Kiffin has not shown that to be his forte. I don't think he adds anything that. I think he adds a sense of professionalism as a guy who, you know, knows he's been around a little bit, obviously. But no, I don't think it's a good hire at all. Next question at New Fat Leva. Leva, Fat Leva, L-E-A-V-E, her. I get it. What are your thoughts on letting college foot players transfer without penalty when their coach leaves? I think I'm absolutely in favor for it. These snake oil salesmen tell these kids, they smooze these kids, they get these kids to come to these schools. For really, they're the reasons why, these recruiters are the reasons why these kids go to these schools. And then they just turn around up and leave. I think if that happens, I think there could be some rules with that, you know, freshman, sophomore, whatever. But I think they should be able to transfer without penalty. The fuck? They got bamboozled into getting in this relationship. You can get out when the other party's out. Absolutely. Shouldn't take some kind of sex scandal or something to be able to transfer without penalty. You should be able to transfer without penalty. Who cares? Especially college football. I mean, the holier than thou sanctimony of this shit. Speaking of holier, digression. Speaking of holier now, how about the Baseball Writers Association? I know it's a football show, but the Baseball Writers Association of America getting their panties in a bunch because Dan Lebatard gave his ballot to the website Deadspin and let the fans vote on the Hall of Famers, who they wanted to go in the Hall of Fame. Oh my gosh. Imagine that, actually letting the fans have a vote in who is Hall of Fame worthy instead of some freaking keyboard jockey, pencil pusher, jock sniffer who has all the power and who, you know, goes into the Hall of Fame. And they suspended him. A bunch of fucking clowns in that organization. Oh my, oh, heaven forbid let the fans actually have a vote. I digress. At Mop Up Reliever. Who are the coach, rookie, offensive, defensive players of the year? I think I talked about it. I'll rip through it rather quickly. Coach of the year, going to give it to Andy Reid. Took a team that was 2-14, turned it around, brought up playoffs, you know, made the Chiefs relevant again. Got to give it to him. Although really, I think the four best coaches, at least the three best coaches in football are still in it right now. Harbaugh, Carroll, Billy Belichick. And you gotta hand it to Fox. Shit, if Fox makes the Super Bowl, it'd be one of the handful of coaches, I don't even know who the other ones are, to take two teams to the Super Bowl. Plus, really, you got Peyton Manning, who's just a coach in the field anyway. Although, you know, it goes to show you about head coach and how much real power they had. John Fox wasn't there half the year. Denver never missed a beat without him. Although the counterexample of that would be the whole Sean Payton thing. Yeah, bullshit. Well, Sean Payton calls the plays, so there's a little bit of difference there. But guys like Carroll, Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh, Belichick, they do have a vision of what they want, which is, I don't think, lacking on all these also-ran teams. I don't think there's a true vision of what they want to do as a team. Speaking of which, you got a team like Miami just have fired Jeff Ireland, which I'm glad. Jeff Ireland was a guy I talked about before, asked Dez Bryant if his mother was a whore. I just don't think you can get away with asking somebody if their mother is a whore. But they fired Jeff Ireland, evidently because Jeff Ireland had some kind of beef, as I looked into it, some kind of beef with Miami's capologist, if you will, salary cap lady, woman named Donna Ponte, who Bill Parcells brought in. It's evidently there was some kind of alliances made between Donna Ponte and Joe Philbin, and they ushered out Jeff Ireland. Got to get it out. Forget it. Forget it, Stephen Ross. Your franchise is in shambles. You need to have one voice. Okay, that's why I think, you see teams like the Patriots. It's Belichick's calling out everything as far as personnel, system, what they want to do. Pete Carroll's doing the same thing in Seattle. I bet Jim Harbaugh has a lot to do with it as well. And then in Denver, you got Johnny Elway calling the shots. Okay, obviously with input from Peyton Manning and John Fox. Stability at the top. That's what these franchises, these successful, consistently successful teams, have stability at the top. Miami, you don't have it. Not going to have it forever. Well, about forever, but not in the next 5 years. You're going to be spinning your friggin' wheels in the Ryan Tannehill era. Enough of that. What else do I got? Oh, Coach of the Year was Andy Reid before I went on my tangent. Rookie of the Year. I got to give it to Eddie Lacy. He's the most impressive rookie back I've seen in a number of years. Although I really liked Kiko Alonso as a linebacker from the Bills. Kept the Bills in a lot of games as well. Offensive Player of the Year. Got to give it to Jamal Charles. Jamal Charles touched about like 30. And it was a huge reason why Kansas City ended up losing. Andy Reid did a great job getting Jamal Charles the touches he needed to be effective. Speaking of touches needing to be effective, how about Charles Johnson bitching about Tennessee? Guy makes $10 million a year, and he's saying, they're not using me right. I need 300 carries. He got like 285 this year. Keep your mouth shut. You know, a guy like that. He's leading. He's in the last 5-6 years, not Charles, what I call him, Charles Johnson, Chris Johnson. In the last, he says he's wasting his prime. You'd love to be wasting your prime getting $10 million a year. Just shut the hell up. If anybody had any real claim to that, it would be Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson doesn't get the ball nearly enough. I think Chris Johnson gets the ball plenty. And then another franchise, quote-unquote franchise quarterback that they pinned a lot of hopes on didn't pan out. Jake Locker, that happens. And there's no stability there with coach Mike Munchak. Should have kept Jeff Fisher, turned it over to him, but they didn't. Another team, never going to do anything in the next 5 years. So what are you bitching about, Chris Johnson? You want to go to the Patriots? You want to go to the Broncos? Don't they all? Take your $10 million a year and be thankful. You know, they talk about the decline of the popularity of the NFL. 34 of the 35 most watched TV shows this fall from September to December were football games. The one game that was a non-NFL production was the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. 34 of the 35 most watched TV shows in the fall, share numbers, were NFL-related shows. So I don't think the concussions and I don't think all that stuff is going to make anything go away. There's no way they could stop the concussion protocols. Well, you know, one of the things they talk about is tackling and trying to teach the correct form of tackling. Fine, I get it. But how about the two defenders who run into each other? How about in the San Diego game today? I think there was three different times when two defenders from San Diego ran into each other and then one of them ended up getting concussed. And I don't know how many times you see guys get tackled and dragged down on the ground and slam their head off the ground and get a concussion. It's going to happen. It's part of it. There's no way to change it. Sorry. I guess that's a negative dooms glass is half half-empty type look, but that's the truth. I don't know why they keep bitching about it, especially you watch it today. The guy just come flying. That's what they do. It's always going to be concussions. And then you hear people like Tom Curran there in Comcast Sports New England, oh, they should put padding on the outside of the helmets. Yeah, I guess, but it's the shake. It's the violent shake. It's not really the collision. It's the jarring, you know? It's like, that's the whiplash. It's the snap. Okay, if you take an egg and throw an egg into a pillow, the egg won't crack, but the yolk will bounce off the shell violently. If that makes sense as an analogy. So, you know, you can talk all you want. You can take the face mask off and they won't lead with the head. The Greek Joseph Vincent Paterno suggested, but yeah, good luck with that happening either. A survey in the NFL. 320 NFL players, they surveyed who the most feared player was in the NFL. Number one, Ndamukong Suh. Number two, Calvin Johnson. And then there was a bunch of also-rans. Are you kidding me? Now that's the job right there. The Detroit Lions next head coach. You got the two most feared players in the NFL, according to the peers of NFL players. You got the two most feared guys on both sides of the ball, and you still can't make the playoffs? Systemic problem. I tell you, my good friend Chris Claiborne, who played for the Lions for a number of years, said it all started with Ford. However, the owner of the Lions, but they put the money in. They're the highest paid team in the NFL. I don't know. Maybe just Jim Schwartz. They go out and get themselves the right hire. Look out for the Lions next year. They could easily turn it around. You got the two most feared guys in the NFL, and you still don't even make the playoffs. Last thing before I get out of here, getting back to Jameis Winston, I wrote this down and I want to talk about it. The accuser of Jameis Winston is now suing Jameis Winston in civil court, just not letting this die. You know? It's amazing. If Jameis Winston gets found guilty in civil court because of this, what do they do? What kind of stain is that in the NCAA? You know, do they put an asterisk? I guess they don't, because it's not criminal charges. However, it's civil charges. I just don't get how that works. I don't even get, you know, getting back to the OJ trial, I don't get how OJ was found not guilty, but then they turn around and say, no, but you really are guilty, OJ. But you're just going to have to pay $30 million. You don't have to go to jail, but you really are guilty. What the fuck? Criminal system, civil court, I don't get it. I guess I'm not that bright. But if Winston gets found not guilty in civil court, that girl who pushed these charges, she should serve time. Okay, because she's dragging this guy's name through the mud if it's not true. If it is true, same thing, he should serve time. I don't get it. I don't know, though, but she's pushing it. Speaking of trials, Aaron Hernandez is getting cited more. They're saying as this comes unfold, Aaron Hernandez, the reason he killed this Lloyd guy, Odin Lloyd, okay, the one he got nabbed for originally, is because he was trying to cover his tracks from a drive-by shooting where two guys were killed with his forerunner. Talk about the arrogance and the just madness that must be going through Aaron Hernandez's brain. He does a drive-by shooting in his own fucking car and expects to get away with it. You know, evidently people saw it and Odin Lloyd was running his mouth, and that's why they just, you know, Aaron Hernandez thinks he's a Soprano or Scarface or something, and he thinks he can just go ahead and kill this guy and there'll be no repercussions for that. He's just going to get away with that. Oh, boy. Aaron is. I'm not saying the Patriots knew that he was doing stuff like that, but they got to have some kind of inclination he's not the right guy. Speaking of not the right guy, Jay Gruden hired for the Washington Redskins. Another retread. You know, that Cincinnati's offense was terrible to watch. Part of it was the Red Rocket. Part of it was the play calling. I wish they just gave it to somebody who, you know, a true innovator. I've talked about that at length, but Jay Gruden is the new head coach of the Redskins. That's gonna go over like a Led Zeppelin. That's gonna go over really well. Another retread. An offense that's terrible to watch. Oh, it's just, you know, he's related to John Gruden. He's got to be a good coach. Well, that's what I got. You know, that's it. I don't feel like, well, last thing, couple more minutes. How about Jimmy Graham fighting with Bruce Irvin and the Seattle Seahawks? Two thug teams going at it before the game even starts. But I thought it was hilarious. Jimmy Graham was evidently kept barking over to Seattle, kept saying, I'm Jimmy. Like he's yelling that over and over again at the Seattle players that he's Jimmy. That he's going to tear it up. But, you know, once again, the best defensive players, the offensive coordinator, they didn't throw the ball one time to Jimmy Graham. And I'm not sold on Jimmy Graham, to be honest with you. You just showed him a bunch of times. He's like jogging through routes. There are better receivers out there than Jimmy Graham. He didn't look like he wanted the ball. He's jogging through things. I'm not completely sold on Jimmy Graham. Oh, shit. I still got a couple more in twit bag things I want to talk about. I went off on a tangent. Offensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year. Comes down to two guys. Earl Thomas or Navarro Bowman. Those are the two best players in defense I see right now. Bowman is ridiculous. The guy's a freak, former Nittany Lion, all over the place. That's why the San Fran team is so tough. They got bullies. You know, this is not your golden polish, slick Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, Steve Young, you know, out-finessing anybody. This San Fran team is mean, physical. And I think Navarro Bowman is the catalyst of that defensively. Also, Earl Thomas is just a freak of nature back then, the defensive secondary for the safety for Seattle. Can I hold out to see who wins that game? Fine, flip a coin. I'll give it to Bowman because he made that huge pick in that run back in the last game at Candlestick. And finally, player of the year. Doesn't pay me as much after today, after talking about what I needed, Bud Light. Gotta be Peyton. Peyton gotta be player of the year. It's a no-brainer. You really even gonna... You can't even dispute that at this point. But I don't understand why they don't give this shit after the playoffs are done. I understand supposedly it's a regular season award, but so what? You know, you need to get all the information in. You got to be able to make informed decisions. And then by the end of playoffs, the cream rises to the top. The best players show their true colors. So give it. Why don't they just vote when the playoffs are all done? Same thing with college football and the Heisman. Although this year, it would have been Winston either way. But let's just wait till all the information is in. All the information is in. The best teams with the best O-line, the teams that can run the ball the most effectively and hold on to the ball and not turn it over and get the home games and play good defense and tackle. Funny how they win all the time. Amazing how that happens. Should be really good games next week. They isolate them both to Sunday. I think it's a 3 o'clock and a 6 o'clock game on Sunday. Which is fine. At least it clears up the Saturday for once. At least I don't have to sit around and watch games on Saturday, though I'll miss that. By the time February comes around, I'm not a huge college basketball aficionado, so I don't really like to watch college because there's a hole in my schedule there, but that's all right. I can fill it with whatnot, things that I got going on. All right, what else do we got? That's it. Forget it. I only got a minute and a half left. I'm not reaching anymore. Follow us at Twitter. I got like 25 more Twitter followers this week. Somebody must have done something. I don't know what happened because I hate to tweet. Like we were talking about earlier, I'd fucking write something. I go, nah, it's stupid. I erase it. This is my fear of texting. Just don't like to do it. Follow us at Twitter, though, at Hard Yards LA. Also, you can email us at hotyardsla@gmail.com. You can throw in a twit bag question right there as well. I'll be back next week. Hopefully, I'll be able to watch the whole second half of the second game next week. I'm sure I will. I'm the coach, and I am out of here.